Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Amen.
Your name.
God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Touch your Lord. We bless what you're doing, Lord. We bless what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a hard time remembering the brother's name, and I'm not sure why. It's been that way since I met him, and I've met the guy. And I asked Kathy what his name was, and she couldn't remember either. But he's a Methodist pastor in Alabama, and revival broke out in the church. They invited, and he didn't really know. He invited John Arnott to come and minister, and John told him, he said, "Well, I'm not really traveling." He said, "But I feel so impressed of the Lord to come." And so John came to the church, and this precious brother, I mean, he is a precious, precious young man, very talented, very dynamic, very charismatic. And he said, all of these people showed up. He said they had shofars and flags, and he said all kinds of stuff and swords. He said, when the service started, he said, I was like, oh no, what is happening? But God showed up and the church just exploded. I mean, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, amazing miracles. And those things have just been continuing since that day. And they have like one revival meeting a month. And in that meeting, it's just incredible what God does. But one of the things that he said that so blessed me that I relate to, he said, my wife is my Holy Ghost barometer. Bless her, Lord. Just bless her. He said, I can tell how much of the Spirit is in a room by just looking at my wife. Because he's kind of like me. Sometimes he's just not as sensitive to the Holy Spirit and he can't feel the Lord like she does. And so when I was looking over here watching her worship, I knew there was a good measure of the Holy Spirit in the room. People say, well, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And you're not wrong. He is. He is everywhere. But God has this unique ability to be able to pour more of himself into a place. He can increase his presence. And people argue that. They try to argue that theologically. But it is obvious that God did something at Azusa. It is obvious that God did something at Brownsville, at Smithton, in California, at Pirates Cove, during the Jesus Revolution. And these are just things that have happened in this country. He's done it around the world. Argentina has been in revival for 3 decades. While the nation has crumbled, just because revival comes doesn't mean that God fixes the government. We're guilty of the same things that the Jewish people were guilty of when Jesus came. They were looking for a savior to fix the government. We don't need the government fixed. We need the church fixed. And if the church is fixed, Then we can see the nation changed. God has never relied on the government to change a nation. If he did, then we'd have it figured out. All we have to do is fix the government and God will move. I want you to pray with me this morning. Please pray with me. I want you to. Sometimes when you ask people to do things, they really struggle to do it. And I want you to know I've been praying for you for a year almost. And I pray for myself. See, I pray for the government most every day. There's days that I get busy just like everybody else. But most every day I pray for the government. I pray for America. I pray for the politics of America. I pray for the politicians of America. And many of them I name by name. I name the president quite regularly. And I always pray good over him. I don't pray bad. And then I pray this, as soon as I've prayed for America, the politics and the politicians, and then I say, God, root out corruption in America. And I say, start with me. Start with me. Boy, if we would begin to pray like that, there'd be a lot of stuff fixed. If we'd spend less time praying, God, remove the corruption from everybody else and just ask him to remove it in us. Bob Jones went to heaven, I believe it was like 74 or something like that. For some of you young people, I know it's almost 100 years ago. And the Lord sent him back to earth. And he sent him back with one mandate. He said, I want you to work on your love walk. And everybody that knew Bob Jones, and he was weird. Let's just be real. Bob was one weird dude. You think your red shoes are snazzy? Bob wore stuff that was off the charts. And he didn't just wear it on his shoes. But everyone that knew Bob Jones, they all said this very same. I've never met anyone that loved like that. That's a pretty good testimony. He was very accurate prophetically. But everybody says, I've listened to so many people and they said the same thing. I've never met anyone that loved like that. I have never heard anybody say that about me. If you would, please pray. Like I said, I've been praying for you about a year that we would learn, praying for you and me, that we would learn how to follow instructions. So many times when we hear something, we only listen to respond. We need to stop listening to respond, and we need to start listening to understand. There is a huge difference. The church needs to stop praying about things that are clear in Scripture. What do I mean by that? We're asking God, do you really want me to do this when he has made it crystal clear in Scripture? You don't have to pray whether the Word of God is the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God. If you would, please pray this with me. This is so important. If you're in another part of the church, I hope you can hear. I need you to pray too. Lord, give me eyes to see Give me ears to hear and a heart to understand so that I would turn, that you would heal me. God, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear and a heart to understand so that I would turn and you would heal me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, please turn it to Proverbs 3, the third proverb. I'm astonished at God. If you knew the week I had. Why he puts up with me, I do not know. He must really love me. Proverbs 3, verse 5. If you have your Bible, please, please open it. Trust in the Lord. It's so important that you see this and you hear it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, that seems like a simple enough thing, but I don't mind telling you that this came after a week of study and prayer unlike any that I've ever had. I started praying about today, Monday. I'm talking praying in earnest. And I pray every week. I pray almost every, I pray every day, but most every day I get up early in the morning and I set myself down. The Bible tells us, early, Lord, will I seek you. Before the sun comes up, God, I am seeking you. I'm a seeker of God. I always have been. Now, there's been times that I struggled with it, but this last week I've been pursuing God with a passion, trying to hear what God is saying. I woke up every morning this week and went to the Lord with determination to hear his voice. And over the week, it became frustrating beyond anything that I could even begin to describe. Have you ever been desperate to hear the voice of God? Finally, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I spoke Wednesday and I just took a chapter out of the Bible because I had nothing fresh from the Lord. I just took a chapter that I love out of the Bible and just taught the word. And I don't think you can go wrong with that, but it was not a rhema word. I was just teaching the word. And finally, Friday, God spoke to me and he said two words. This is how silly we can be. He spoke to me Friday. He said, trust me. And I was so thankful to hear him. And I thought, and I know better than this. I thought he was just telling me, you're on the right track. Just keep after me. You'll hear what you want to hear in the next day or two. See, that's what we want to do. We want to hear what we want to hear. We want God to speak to us what we want to hear. We're wanting some direction. We're wanting some insight. We're wanting something. We have a desire for something specific, and we're expecting God to address that. And then out of nowhere, he says these two simple words, trust me. I've been through John 12, Luke 18. All the epistles, I've been through the New Testament. I almost read the entire New Testament this week, trying to find a rhema word for this morning. I set aside all day Saturday. I mean all day. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and I said, I'm going to seek you today, God, for what you have for tomorrow. I set this day aside to do what you want to do tomorrow. God, just give me what you want tomorrow. And I had nothing all day. All day. By noon, I was just exhausted. Nothing. Seeking God can be exhausting, especially if you're not doing it well. And instead of just sitting before the Lord this week, loving on Him, waiting on Him, I was pressing, pressing, pressing. And I'm not saying there are no times for pressing, but knowing when to press and when to sit is beneficial. I woke up today doing the same thing early this morning. I mean, I'm getting ready to come to church on Sunday and I have no idea what I'm going to say. And you may be totally comfortable with that. You may be a speaker, you may be a teacher, and you may be one of the, because there are people like this. I know there are. I've listened to them and they're great speakers. I've got nothing against the way they flow and function. And I've had so many people try to get me to flow and function that way, but that ain't me. I'm not saying it won't be me. I'm just saying right now that ain't me. People do well with it, but I don't. Usually when I come and the Lord has not made something clear, you can expect one thing from me. Repent, repent, repent. When I preach those really hard repentance sermons, that's usually what when I preach that, because I ain't got nothing else. And I know we can't go wrong if we just change our thinking according to the will of God. Now finally, after I went through all this morning's readings and all the scriptures I prayed, and there was just nothing fresh. And I had already, I'd already dug in to study on two or three different topics. I mean, I had some words put together, but I knew it wasn't what God wanted. I thought, you know, Friday, He said, trust me. Maybe I'll look at that. Oh, if you can't laugh at yourself, you need to get prayed through. Because there's something wrong if you can't laugh at yourself. And if there's no laughter in the house of God, I seriously doubt that God is there. So I went, looked at the English word trust. It's found in the King James Version 188 times. I thought, well, that's significant. In the New King James, it's 186 times. In the New Living Translation, it's in there 220 times. So it's definitely an important word. And it seems like such a simple word. It seems so, so simple. I mean, even if you're not able to do it, it's still a simple word. Trust. But that's because we're only looking at it in the English. I had never studied this word in the Hebrew. I had no idea what it meant until this morning, which I could have known about it Friday. I could have went fishing yesterday. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 again, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That Hebrew word that is translated trust is batak. It is a primitive root. It properly means to hie for refuge. H-I-E. Can anybody define hie? H-I-E. It means to run swiftly. To run swiftly to the Lord for refuge. If I would have Monday ran swiftly to the Lord for refuge, I could have fished all week. Instead, I toiled and I labored. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labored are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you are wore totally out. You have been toiling and toiling and toiling, and all the while God is simply saying, run swiftly to me. The Holy Ghost is here. To run swiftly for refuge, but not so precipitately as Old Testament 26:20. We'll look at that in just a minute. Figuratively, to trust, to be confident or sure. And we're familiar with that part of the definition. To be confident, to be sure. We are confident in God. We're sure of God. But our problem is, and maybe we're not always confident, maybe we're not always sure, but most of the time we know God can do it. Our problem is we don't run swiftly to Him for refuge. We spend a lot of time doing a lot of things, and the whole time God is saying, run swiftly to me. He should be the first one we run to. The literal translation of Proverbs 3 and 5 would be, go quickly to the Lord with all your heart. Now I'll be honest. I spent the week in prayer. I spent the week in the Word. But part of my heart was not in it. I wanted God to speak to me about what I wanted God to speak to me about. I want you to tell me what to do, God. I did. Friday. Trust me. Trust me. I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted Him to show me what He wanted me to do. I wanted something. I wanted an answer. I. How many months have you wasted on I? I want God to do what I want Him to do. I want to know about this. I want to know about that. Why is it like this? Why is it like that? My dear brothers and sisters, we are wasting our time. Run swiftly to the Lord for refuge with all your heart. Go quickly to the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. See, we've got it backwards. We want God to tell us what to do, so we'll just do it. And God does tell us what to do. He said, run to me, and I will lead you, and I will show you exactly what you need to do. I'm telling you, God sent me here today to help somebody. I do not believe that I wasted all week knowing how miserable people can be. Now, another word translated trust in some of our Bibles is found in Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Under his wings thou shalt trust. That is that Hebrew word 26:20, kasah. And it is a primitive word to flee for protection. But remember what the other Hebrew word says. It is not as... I have to read it because it's so hard to pronounce. And it isn't for some people, but it is for me. But not so precipitately as Old Testament 26:20. That word precipitately simply means faster. So if you run fast to the Lord, to lean not to your own understanding, to trust him with all your heart, you run to him with all your heart quickly. This is run faster to get under his shelter. That's the literal translation. Now, God is telling us that we can recklessly abandon ourselves to him for protection. He is our safe refuge. His word is our shield and our wall. My friends, it has nothing to do with feelings. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ that make a lot of decisions based on feelings, and feelings have nothing to do with anything in the walk of faith. We've got to stop believing that people are our influence. Now, I haven't studied this out yet, so I cannot speak exhaustively on that. I can't even speak confidently on this. But in 30 years of studying the Scripture, I cannot think of a single instance where God demands us to respect people's opinions over his. Not a single one. As a matter of fact, even when God tells us to give honor to whom honor is due, to submit even to authority that is unholy and ungodly, when that unholy, ungodly authority tells us to do something outside of the commandment of God, Peter said, well, just who am I supposed to obey? Am I supposed to obey you, or am I supposed to obey God? Yep, we're to obey God always. For us to lean to our own understanding, for us to not trust him with all of our heart, for us to do what somebody is pressuring us to do outside of the will of God, we have to wonder. When we make decisions like that, where does that put us concerning the refuge and the protection of the Lord, the leading of the Lord? When we're letting other people dictate to us what God, something contrary to what God has said. God said, if you'll run swiftly to me with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. So what do you suppose is going to happen when somebody pressures us to do something outside the will of God? We lean to our own understanding. We do not acknowledge him in our ways. Where are we going to end up? Now, if you've never been to this place that I'm preaching about right now, let me just tell you, it's really bad. I've been out of the will of God. I've done things that God didn't want me to do. Am I the only one in here? See, some of you are mad because you're out of the will of God right now. That's your problem. I told you this at the very beginning. I said, pray that God give you eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand, so you will turn and he will heal you. He is faithful. You can get back in the will of God that fast. Bam! Hallelujah. I done killed that rabbit before I even started chasing him. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's not always going to feel good. We need to get past that. We just need to get past that. We are some of the most blessed people on planet Earth. You got to understand, there are billions of people today that are going to live on less than a dollar a day. Billions. Not millions, billions. The last I looked, and I don't know if it's more or less, but the last time I looked, 2 billion people on planet Earth do not have clean drinking water. 2 billion. They're drinking out of the same puddle. Some of them are drinking out of cow tracks, elephant tracks. They're drinking out of water that animals have defecated and urinated in. They're drinking out of ponds that there's dead stuff in. I mean, because the crocodiles and the lions and the cheetahs and the hyenas, they kill stuff. And it's in the edge of the water. People are drinking that stuff. People are dying from waterborne illness every day in this planet. We are so blessed. And yet, if God calls us to do something that is not going to be popular, we'll avoid it to keep from being unpopular. It's quiet in here this morning. We need to get past the place of comfort. We need to get past the place of feeling safe. There's going to be times it doesn't feel safe, but we just need to keep doing the right thing. I'm glad the apostles stayed in the upper room even though they were afraid. I'm glad that Daniel didn't have a lot of choice, but I'm glad that Daniel stayed in the lion's den until the next day. You can't tell me he wasn't afraid. Now, I know Asian lions are not as big as African lions, but they're still big. And when they threw the other guys in the next morning, the lions ate them before they got to the ground. They've been sitting there looking at Daniel all night, and they had an appetite. It'd be like you and me sitting there with a prime rib laying right in front of us. I mean, there's all the au jus, and there's like twice baked potatoes. And I mean, it's like a whole prime rib. You can eat all of it you want, but you just got to sit there and look at it. You can't have none of it because the angel done come and shut your mouth. Now, when he walks out after 8 or 10 or 12 hours, you're going to have you a piece of that prime rib. Sitting there smelling it all that time, looking at it all that time. Yeah, them lions, they were happy. I know the Hebrew children. I know they did not. They were not comfortable when they answered Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Whether the Lord saves us or not, O king, we're not bound to you." And so he heated the oven 7 times hotter. Killed the men that threw him in. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, "I thought we threw 3 in there." "We did, O king. Well, I see 4 walking around in there. And one looks like the Son of Man." See, the Bible is filled with instances when people did not feel comfortable doing the right thing. But what took place in every one of those instances I just shared with you? When we do not lean to our own understanding, when we run quickly to Him for safety and refuge, when we run to Him and we abandon ourselves with all of our heart, we don't hold back part of ourselves. We say, here I am, God, I am yours, I belong to you, I'll do whatever you want me to do, here I am, Jesus. God says, I can work with that. I can shut the mouths of lions. I can quench the violence of fire. I can cause the dead to be raised again. I can open the heavens and pour out my spirit on all flesh if I can find somebody that will come to me in reckless abandonment. Now the list goes on and on. I mean, there are worst case scenarios. I'm sure Paul was afraid just before Nero lifted his head. Had to be. You understand, and you've heard this, I think most of you have heard this. Courage is not the absence of fear. If you talk to any soldier that's been in battle, they will not tell you they were not afraid. They say the only ones that aren't afraid are lunatics. Leave them alone. You find somebody that stares death in the eye and all they do is squeal like some little kid at Christmas time. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Them people are unstable. They're liable to turn on you just as quick as they're going to turn on the enemy, so just leave them alone. The soldier that's facing battle is terrified, but he charges and he does not retreat because he's doing the right thing in the face of fear. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying the Lord spoke and said to trust me. Now, just super quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing this because it could be an entirely different sermon. It may be. We may talk about this again next week. But there are several things that the Lord tells us that we can do, ways that we can enter, ways that we can enter that heavenly place. Paul said that we've been made to be seated in the heavenly places. God made us for heavenly thinking. God created us anew in Christ Jesus. We have been made to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Jesus, on more than one occasion, see, this is how crazy that our minds can be. I can only think of one instance where Jesus said this, but as I was studying, there's instance after instance in the Gospels when Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you want to have treasure in heaven, be generous. I can find that 3 or 4 times in the Gospels. It just keeps repeating itself, the same theme. If you want to have treasure in heaven, Jesus said, be generous. Be generous. He said, put your treasure in heaven, because if you do, your heart will be there also. So if you want your heart in heaven, be generous. Quit being a tightwad. Quit looking at it like that. Brother Gerald was talking about that October 5th, fifth quarter, and he said something that was just so profound. He said he's trying to get it across to the church that it is not an expense. It's an investment in our young people. And the same is true with helping the poor. It is not an expense. It is an investment in people's lives. We're helping a guy right now. He was an orphan. He was raised in foster home after foster home, put in orphanages and schools for kids that didn't have parents. He was abused in every way imaginable. When I found out and I found him, I looked him up. When I went to him and talked to him, he was homeless and suicidal. He was going to kill himself. But because we've helped him, he's at least listening to the gospel. I ain't seen him saved yet, but I'm believing. Because all of his experience with religion had been horrible. People drug him out of chairs and drug him to the altar and held him by the back of the neck and said, "Don't get up from there until you're saved." You're not going to lead people to Jesus like that. Jesus is not going to lead people to himself like that. Pretty sure we're supposed to love them. The Bible says, though we were far away, the blood of Jesus has brought us near. We have access to God. So quit saying that you don't have access to be near to God. Quit saying that you can't run to Him for refuge. You are contradicting what the Scripture says. The Scripture says you can come to Him. In Hebrews 10 and 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh." You have access to God. You, every one of you, have access to God. You can say, "Jesus, I want to serve You. I want to run to the Father. I want to find that place of refuge. I'm ready to serve You with all my heart. I'm ready to seek You with all my heart. I'm ready to get away from my own understanding." It's like the man that told me years ago, he's laying in his cot in Granite Penitentiary, looking up at that rock ceiling saying, "My best thinking landed me here." This right here will never land you there unless things really change in our government. I'm not saying it ain't going to happen. It could. Jesus has made a way. So quit saying there's no way. There is a way. His name is Jesus. He's your access. Be a generous person. Be a thankful person. The Bible says we enter His courts with thanksgiving in Psalm 100. The Bible says that with praise we come into the holy place, and with worship we go into the Holy of Holies. We have access into the very throne room of God. And the Bible says God is looking for such that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. A grateful heart gets you in the gates. A praising heart gets you into His courts. And a worshiping heart gets you into the very presence of God. Simple things. Be grateful. Be a praiser. Be generous. Trust Jesus. And if you've never trusted Jesus, you can do that this morning. As we stand to our feet, get ready to dismiss, I'm going to ask you to do something that I've never done as long as I've been a pastor. This came to me We're going to take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Everybody here can take 5 minutes. Brother Kilpatrick said, let the roast burn. He also said, get a crock pot. When you walk out the door, put it on medium. Put it on low so it doesn't burn. As we begin to play some music for 5 minutes, if you are physically able, if you're not physically able to stand, I get that. But if you're physically able, we're going to stand before the Lord for 5 minutes and we're going to praise Him and we're going to thank Him. And we're just going to spend 5 minutes dedicating our hearts and saying, here we are, Lord. Here we are. No more. No more leaning to my own understanding. No more, God. And I know I'm just as guilty as anybody. I'm making the declaration, but there's a good chance sometime before dark that I might lean to my own understanding. But I want Him to know my heart. In my heart, I have no desire to lean to my own understanding. I may stumble, I may bumble with this, but I'm telling you, my heart is saying, God, I have no desire to lean my understanding. I want to go after You, Jesus, with all my heart. I want to, in all my ways, acknowledge You. And so for 5 minutes, if you would just praise the Lord, you have plenty to be thankful for. Do you have clean drinking water? Do you have enough food to eat? And if you don't have clean drinking water and you don't have enough food to eat, I want to ask you right now just to put your hand over your heart. See if you can feel that heartbeat. I can feel mine. That's something to be thankful for. Because I have an opportunity to cry out to God and let Him know, before I leave planet Earth, I'm going to praise Him even in the midst of the trials. Even in the midst of the troubles, I'm going to give Him glory. Because even if a worst case scenario and I fall over dead before the 5 minutes is up, my next breath will be with Him. And so this may be the last chance we have to worship Him while we're still going through the garbage. Because when our heart stops beating, the garbage is over. We'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. No sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no tears. So for 5 minutes, I'm starting it right now. For 5 minutes, will you thank Him? Will you praise Him? Will you give Him glory for all the good things that He's done? If you have nothing else, thank Him that He forgave you of your sins. Just go back and remember the day that He saved you. Do you remember the day that Jesus saved you?
Yours, no condition. try again. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you would go to say you love us. It's extravagant. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far.
If you're experiencing the presence of the Lord, you feel the Holy Spirit on you, there's some kind of situation going on where you need help, whether it's physical healing or in a relationship, whatever it is, if you truly sense the Lord on you right now, maybe it's tears, maybe it's shaking, maybe it's heat, but you know God is touching you, I want you to come and we're going to pray with you. Just keep playing the music. If you're here and you know the Holy Spirit is, and I'll pray for anybody. You don't have to feel anything to get prayer, but I want to pray for those that the Lord is touching first. It's just like Richie said. I've heard Randy Clark say it. All I am is the mule that he rides in. That's all I am. That's all I am. I can only deliver what He gives. And so if you sense the nearness of the Lord, if you sense Him touching you, come quickly. Don't worry about what people think. It's not important. It's only important what the Lord thinks. Just come. I want the prayer team to come. Please come, prayer team. Just begin to minister across this place. Come on, prayer team. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.